Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. Jackie
Cation. All right, ready, go.
Sorry, I meant to ask, Jackie, there's no functional beauty, on this one, right?
No, not till October 5th.
Okay, because I knew there was one looming, but I wasn't remember. Okay.
Yeah, I have a document that I can share with you.
Okay.
I don't want to see the document.
You know what? You don't want to be shared. You don't want that document shared with you. You're not wrong. You are. It is an irritant. Whenever anyone says, "Can I share a Google Doc with you?" I'm like,
absolutely not.
Hey, okay. Yeah. Sure. Go ahead. Hi. How's it going?
Oh, are we started now? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm fine. How are you?
I think we're started. I think that interesting story about the Function of Beauty ad should definitely stay in the show. It's a real.
Sure.
That's got to be 20 seconds.
wow, Jackie. Starting a countdown already.
I'm not going to lie to you. I did a Twitch show last night that was actually quite fun with.
Oh, yeah.
Twitch.
Twitch is when you do it on Zoom, but it gets pushed out to Twitch, and you can follow along on Twitch if you get to mute one of the audio so you don't have two shows playing. But people are chatting with you because they don't know you're not exactly on Twitch. So,
Weird thing is, sometimes it can be fun. Sometimes this was literally it was actually an okay show because I worked on bits that I haven't worked on in a couple of weeks, so I needed to run lines anyway, Lori. but it was on StreamYard. It was one of those.
So StreamYard to Twitch. I think I did StreamYard once. Was that with the West Side? In
no,
New York?
No, it's okay. What the heck? Literally,
West Side had I
remember the name of the show. The name of the show was Pop and Chat, and what it was is you would drink a soda, do a set, and then chat about what kind of soda you were drinking. It is literally the tiniest of all themed comedy shows. So I was fine with it. I got to do
that.
15.
Is super niche.
Yeah, super niche, and I have for some reason I've been off of soda for a couple of years, but when we went into lockdown, I ordered some soda just in case. And so I ordered, and this is probably 2 months ago, I ordered Diet Coke, and they were out of regular size cans, so I got minis. The guy substituted 2 12 packs of minis, so I drank like 4 minis. Anyway, but here's the point of StreamYard push to Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Zoom push to Twitch is better only because everybody's in Zoom. In StreamYard, you're all backstage. You're backstage. You can hear other comics, but they can't hear you laugh. And you can't hear them laugh. It's just, you're just on the screen alone. And but you can see the chat.
Okay. Let's just discuss the heartbreak that happens when you realize you're doing a show where you have to be the audience as well. Like, you're like, oh, I'm up first on this one, boing out of here, but they need people to stick around because it's being pushed to Twitch. And
weirdly enough, everybody hung out. Like, Pat Sievert, who's a guy I worked with in Michigan, he was on that show. And Barrett didn't even get to say hi to him because we were backstage separate.
Right.
It's backstage on StreamYard. Everyone's separate.
Okay.
And then you're just pushed to Twitch. And so I barely got to go, hey, Pat. Anyway, so but
StreamYard
the weird
is even COVID compliant digitally if everyone's in their own green room.
Yes, it is. And here's what I will say this is that Zoom has this thing where you can blur any sort of acne problems you have going on your face.
Right.
StreamYard doesn't have that. Turns out the aging process enormously obvious when you are StreamYard pushed to Twitch.
Yeah, so Zoom does have a de-aging thing, for sure.
Nice.
They've got some filter. Very nice. And
I might turn it up super high right now.
Yes, but if you angle your you don't have to have my setup, but any setup where you're looking up into the camera instead of down into it, it takes 25 years off your face, you know?
True. Yeah. I just cranked it. Look at this. I'm young again. Anyway.
Oh, you cranked your filter?
Yeah, I cranked my filter.
Yeah, I like it. I like filter Jackie.
I have so much acne right now.
Oh.
And I would say it was mask acne, except for I don't go anywhere. I go nowhere. I do nothing.
Plus, you said it's, you pointed to your forehead. So that also tells me you're wearing your mask wrong outside when you go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I got it everywhere. Let's just.
Oh, okay.
I saw. Anyway, we did go somewhere briefly. We went to walk on the beach last Wednesday because to try to find some decent air.
Right.
Like today, the air's moderate. It's getting better. The wind changed away from LA. It's burning some other part of California.
Right.
But the, so we went to Malibu and literally, and granted, we haven't been out to eat in 7 months.
Yeah.
So for me, us to share a meal at an oceanside cafe, we sat out at what Andy calls brunch covidians.
Yeah.
He didn't make that up, though it makes me laugh every time. Anyway, but so we sat down and we split lunch and it was $100.
Wow. That's how they're going to stay in business. I was wondering. How much is a comedy club going to cost? It's going to be a $100 ticket because you got to cover the 5 people that can't be there because you're there.
Right. And you have to buy 5 tickets. And then I remember I did that horrible Albuquerque gig where it was $7 to get in. And when I found out that it was a set, this was back in the early 2000s.
At Laughs?
Russ.
Yeah. Russ Rivas and, Laughs. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I know. And, I know your terrible experience.
I believe it's literally my least favorite comedy experience in the world, and I've had several.
You need to hit the archives if you want to hear the full story.
Hit the archives, you guys. Feel free to avoid the election night, as I always say. But and then so it was a horrible day when Ruth Bader Ginsburg finally was allowed to die. And then we had an earthquake. Did you get that right when you went to bed? Did you get the big earthquake?
Yes, I was, my dog, the dog was freaking out. And
It's
my son grabbed the dog and dove under the table that my mother died on. And, they were safe. And I went outside to check it out.
That's California born and bred.
Earthquake to calm down and scaring my dog and family. I go grocery shopping every week, and so I was leaving this Pavilion grocery store, and there's a Denny's nearby, and the Denny's has outdoor dining, and I can't imagine a worse way to get COVID than by dining at a Denny's. I'd rather go to a Brian Callen show and get COVID from the headliner.
I am so fucking over all of the chains that don't book us are booking Brian Callen. And you're like,
I'm tired of being traumatized by shitty male comics' careers. Like, and because also there's a bajillion great male comics that aren't rapists and don't perform when they have COVID and fist bump their audience afterwards. Like, there's tons of them. And that works.
Right. If you are looking for a straight white guy, there are plenty of very, very funny straight white guys who could probably be convinced to even work in COVID. Right.
I love that you say if you're looking for a straight white guy. That's the only those two workers in particular seem to have heat seeking missiles that only go to straight.
It was three.
Well, it's helium, it's Grossman and Helium, and it's I forget
Adam,
the name.
What's his face?
Tacoma.
And Tacoma, Spokane, and Appleton. And then it's Aaron and at the Improv.
Is that Aaron that books that?
Yeah.
Oh.
To my knowledge. I mean, although I think that Robert guy was doing it for a long time. So I know she's tried to get me in several times. She's literally, she is done what she's done as much as she can. So I don't think it's her.
I would guess it's the male the male of the two that you just described is bringing the rapist
Hartman
back.
Or something? Yeah.
Oh, him? Oh.
I think it's, right. But the improvs, it's the improvs, the heliums, and the tiny empire that is Spokane, Tacoma, and Appleton.
Why can't a good person have a comedy empire? You know, why can't an ethical, moral person have a comedy empire? I mean, there's just some ethical, moral club owners, but they seem to, maybe because they have ethics, are like, this is all I can handle. I'd have to be an asshole if I had seven of them.
Right. Well, they think about expanding, and then they're like, well, then maybe I wouldn't be able to run it justly. Maybe that's what they're thinking.
Maybe. Too we don't much know. Work. Who, I don't know. I don't know what it's like to run a club, and I will never know. I refuse to be part of that part of the industry.
Let me knock on wood for you.
It all of a sudden he popped up all over my timeline, right? And in chats.
Yeah, which is also like, rude.
Can I have a week without going, what the fuck is wrong with people? How could he, okay. You know, he has an audience that, you will make money on that show if you're a club owner. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I get it. Would you, this is your club. You hired people. Do you want to knowingly put a rapist around these people that you hired and you ostensibly like?
Essentially, you have to say to your wait staff, is it okay? If you don't want to work, you don't have to. Which is saying, if you don't want to make money, you don't get to. Because I'm going to decide whether you want me to or not.
I'm not going to give you a rape scale where you get a... extra money. They should be getting extra money if they work
rape. Pardon me while I write that down.
At the club when a rapist is headlining, because that's true. And I totally understand the women that would just be like, I don't want to be near this guy. I'm sure he's not going to rape anyone at the comedy club. I'm sure he'll rein it in that weekend. Mm-hmm. But do you just want to be around a rapist ever? I mean, I don't think men do either.
Well, and the thing is you don't, it's not even, I mean, I assume, like, do you want to go in the green room and be alone with them?
No, do you want to serve food to somebody you know raped somebody who looked just like you, who's a woman just like you? Do you want to bring crudités to a rapist?
Right. We went to Costco. We suffered and went and got these taquitos from Costco. So, no, what I'm saying is that if you're alone with them. There, you know that it's not only are they a rapist, they're a hack who's going to say shitty things to you about how they're not being convicted of rape.
Maybe. You know, I don't know. You can't. If you start
weird shit.
Jackie, if you start marching against the hacks, they're going to start coming for us. So let's leave hack off the table. But listen, this guy also had COVID and performed in Texas during a COVID surge. That is so immoral. I can't fathom it. And
the last 7 months of his career have been incredibly shitty.
But the other thing is, like, well, if you have COVID, maybe you can't get it again. Maybe, but they say the longest amount is 3 months that you get a grace period before you're eligible for COVID again. So it's been 3 months, or it will have been by the time he starts working these rooms. So not only do we know this guy can get COVID, I mean, he's vulnerable in that way, right? So he could get it again, and he obviously wouldn't give a shit about spreading it. Because he didn't before.
Right.
And I'm wondering, like, legally, how can a club owner, could any employee sue a club owner for knowingly bringing a rapist into the workplace, right? Is that, or do nightclubs just not count as a work? I'm used to thinking of them as not a workplace, as I think of an office as a workplace. That's why you like them. As a comic, you're like, there are no rules. In a way, that's a relief, you know? But there needs to be a couple rules. like don't hire a rapist. That maybe even if that's the only rule in a comedy club, you know, it doesn't make it like it's you're working for Dunder or Mifflin. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting choice. Interesting go-to. My
son just started watching The Office, so that will be my go-to for about a year.
It's interesting. Like 2 or 3 years ago, when the rapists came up, we would have written their names down.
because
but now 3 years later we're like, oh fuck it, and you're at this point we're like, that guy had COVID, gave it to people, and now might be giving it to more people, so fuck him doubly. So I
yeah approve. For sure. I it's astonishing that two major chain owners don't give a shit about that, you know. It's really and because didn't three okay yeah So you had said that I didn't see April Macy's Instagram post, but it was like, if there's more sex offenders on your calendar than women, you have a problem, right?
Right.
And I thought that was just a theoretical. I literally could not believe that Brian Callen would be on any respectable comedy club's calendar. It's right. Just shocking. It is. You know what's funny is I was thinking last night, like the Tacoma guy, Adam, mm-hmm. he the time I worked there, you know, before you talked to his mother and then they
which
stopped.
Can I?
Oh, wait, not your fault. Not your fault.
No.
Okay.
But can I say that I should have talked to his dad? Because here's the thing. His mom defended him. His dad was a cop. And I think he was a decent cop. And I think he was the kind of guy who would have been like, what the yeah, I got, and he would have just essentially just fucking knocked some. I genuinely believe that his dad, if I would have just gone to his dad, his mom just defended him and said, there's no way he did this. And I was like, this is five people telling me that. And then I was like, all I was asking her was to what was A, if it happened, and B, if she could just put up a sign or tell him to stop doing it. But instead, they relocated
him. Put up a sign.
Right.
Well, hello, you know, son. He stopped demanding in the green room.
Specific to him. But the thing is zero, like one of those zero tolerance signs that means
yes,
so
sure.
That means so fucking little. But instead, the Catholic priest relocated him to Appleton, Wisconsin. Wisconsin doesn't need more people
sex
to be encouraged
offenders.
To be shitty. Yeah.
But so what
I
would,
his dad would have shut him. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would hope that, and I encourage any wait staff at any one of those clubs that's forced to sign a thank you card to them. By the way, they must love
with
that
check.
They must love that at the end of two shows on a Saturday. Oh, you gotta thank the headliner. Okay. They must love to have to sign that, but whatever. Just if you are working the Brian Callen weekend, write a note to Brian. Thank you for not raping me. That would be my suggestion on your thank you card to Brian Callen. If in fact
right.
he doesn't.
Right. If he doesn't, or if he doesn't just slap your ass as you go by or grope you or some fucking thing.
I don't know what he does. I barely know the guy, but I know
I've
when
never
I read
even
in the LA
met
Times.
The guy.
Right.
And all I know is that every clip of his stand up I've seen, I'm like, I see what he's doing. Okay. So remember last week when I told you I got I read aloud from the article, my friend sent me the article from the
which article?
That remember that article?
Oh yeah. About you in Aspen.
Yeah. She sent me the hard copy with another letter that I wrote her 2 weeks after I moved here.
Okay.
So by the way, in 1997, she didn't have a computer. I had to email her friend Lisa and say, print this and hand it to TJ.
Okay.
So this is from January 25th, 1997, 2 weeks after I moved here. What is happening with my hair?
I don't know. I'm obsessed with it. I don't even know what you've said for the last 4 minutes.
I'm literally thinking of shaving my head. I think it'll all come in stone cold white.
oh, yeah. You got to be careful.
Slightly panicked.
Hang on to what you have. That's my theory on hair. Like, you know what? It'll get thin one day. But while it's
right.
thick, I'm fucking having it all over the place.
Right. So, okay. So I had moved from Minneapolis to LA and I'm there 2 weeks. I'm living with Jennifer McLean, used to stand up, went into documentaries, married to a head writer of some fucking thing. She's a delight. She's a good friend.
Okay.
Of mine. Anyway, whatever. So I'm living in a studio apartment with Jennifer McLean and we go to comedy stages almost every night. That's the coolest. Last night we went to one called Orchids and Onions. Yeah. Named after some woman's college sorority. Sometimes it's whatever.
Huh.
But it's and I said this, it's an alternative stage, which is comedy, but hyphen not so jokety joke, not so tight.
if you didn't sign that letter, I would know that you wrote it.
I have to tell you that I had just spent about 17 years being called not so jokety joke, not so tight. So when I moved, I fit right in. But get this. The night before I wrote this, I had just seen Greg Proops for the first time, and I didn't even know who he was.
Whoa.
That's from Whose Line?
In 97?
In 97.
Oh, my God. He's great, but he was also great in 97. You're not seeing On the Way Up Proops. You're seeing fucking full Proops.
This is, I literally gush for like two paragraphs, and I am like, I literally fell in love with his stand-up comedy after that night.
Yeah.
When I got this the other day, I DM'd him and I was like, hey, you'll be happy to know that I fell in love with your stand-up. And he was like, oh, thank God. He was like, that's I great. Needed that. Who doesn't need a pep talk? Anyway, but it was kind of amazing. And it was my first job when I moved here. I was a secret shopper. I made $7 an hour working in the office. And then I made $2.50 for every Ralph's, Food for Less, and Albertsons that I went to harass the staff and then write up a report about it.
Oh, you know what? I just listened to somebody recommended this podcast on Twitter about, I forget the name of it. I can tell you after, but it's called The Snitch Economy. And how shoppers like that were like the first wave of people that would just be telling on people making minimum wage that if they're not doing a good enough job or having a good enough attitude.
Well, I was.
And now it's led to Yelp and whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was, I literally, I was worried I wouldn't get the secret shopper job, but it turns out to not get the secret shopper job, I would have had to have been in the process of committing a felony. That's what I wrote to my friend in 1997.
All right.
So literally, I worked with these people who were almost unemployable. Mm-hmm. And we all just spent the day just, and essentially,
well, you didn't go in together, right?
No, we all had to. You had to use your own car, and the.
But you didn't. It was, you did you meet up as secret shoppers and then fled a store?
We had to meet and have like a group wrap in the beginning. The beginning of the day, we had to have a group meeting, and then we would get our assignments, and then we would head out into the world. My first day assignment, by the way, Jennifer McLean also had this job. She looked at my list and she said, "You're not doing this. You moved here a week and a half ago. You're not going to Compton at 6 o'clock at night. It's not happening. You're okay. not going to know how to get out. You're going to be weird."
Okay.
And she was like, and I said, "You're correct. I am going to be weird. I don't know. I won't know."
Already?
And it was pre-GPS. I was looking through my Thomas guide.
Oh, the Thomas Brothers guide. Oh, my God. No.
Like page 157. And then I kind of put it together.
God, anyway, how fast did those people lose their industry, the map makers, the cartographers, the Thomas Brothers. My kid and his dad took a little vacation in the middle of the week because you could work from anywhere and you could do school from anywhere. So they went near the border at an Airbnb, and Border Patrol was called on them and visited them at the Airbnb to ask what they were doing.
Why did they go there?
Wait, you're blaming...
No, I'm wondering why
because
why chose that place. Because I know he's a button pusher, but that seems excessive.
Wait, what?
Why did he go to the border? Why did he go near the border on holiday?
Because it's pretty. I mean, Jackie, any American citizen should be able to...
Oh, completely.
Vacation at an Airbnb near the border. It's very clean air. There's nothing happening there. It's beautiful desert territory. So
the thing is there's other ways to go is what I was thinking. But you said that he went to the border like that was a destination. He went there on purpose. That's what I thought you were saying.
Okay. No, they got an Airbnb that was near the border.
And then the Border Patrol was called on them because they happened to be brown.
By two white women. This is the because they didn't see anyone but two white women. And then, you know, hours later, a Border Patrol agent kind of meandered.
Sure.
and started talking to my son about aliens, use the word alien. Like, I think my kid actually thought he meant space people for a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Did he let him in on his manga? And
anime? No, but I mean, I was like, holy shit. That's, you know, like way to create somebody that hates you, people in uniform. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's, right. We keep hearing about these decent cops. Here's what I would love for decent cops to do. Speak up about your shitty cops.
And stop racing comedy club owners.
And we we're willing to eviscerate Callan or whatever his name is. Callahan. What's his name?
Callan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. It makes you start just grading how bad the various male comics are with their sexual predatory behavior, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, all right, Louis, you know, he's probably never going to do that again. Right. Even though he hasn't learned a lesson comedically in terms of how he talks about it comedically, like how we all thought that he would do it. I doubt he's going to engage in that behavior
again. I disagree.
Really?
I think he has been encouraged. It's sort of like, right. By getting away with it, he is subversively encouraged, and more people who want him to do shit like that are now his fans.
Oh, sure. But then
he's being encouraged.
But it's consensual then. If it's his fans, it's consensual.
No, his fans encouraging him to do shit like that.
Right.
To women. Not to them, to women.
Okay, yeah, but I mean,
it's a douchey, bro-y thing where they're just like, well, clearly it's okay. People are wrong. I do get to do this. This is funny.
I don't think it's clearly okay. I think the backlash was huge and it's not clearly okay. It's clearly not okay. That's my opinion.
The weird thing is that they are like, I'm kidding. This is okay, but they hide that they did it because they know internally that it actually isn't okay.
Yeah. But I do, I'm not sure.
You're like,
we might not agree, but I do, like, I was like, oh, and okay. D'Elia is exposing himself. That's part of me is like, oh, that, okay. Right. Cause we've been exposed to, right. Like it's like, all right, that's, it's gross. But, for us, we've managed that situation before. Right. So you're like, oh, but forcible rape is, to me, it's like a different animal. And it's so shocking that I wouldn't be shocked if D'Elia was working clubs again, just because, on the level of what was done to women was less traumatizing than an actual forcible rape. So that wouldn't shock me if he comes back into clubs. But I was really surprised that so many clubs would hire a count. Did you read the article?
I didn't.
He forcibly raped a woman.
At a club or just?
I don't think it was at a club. Okay. It was someone he knew. Through her father, but yeah.
Oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, her father helped him?
No. Her father was, I think, in show. I don't remember everything correctly. So, but her father didn't help Callan rape. she didn't say anything. As we all do.
He sounds like a great dad. He didn't help. That's awesome.
No, Jackie. He didn't know because she didn't tell her dad. Don't confuse him with the dad of the girl who helped
Jeffrey Ross
groom his own daughter. That guy is a massive, massive piece of shit.
Right, because that guy is... But remember, this guy who is working, I put in the chat...
I don't know that guy, but I have heard of that guy.
That's the guy who was actually arrested for attempted rape and kept jamming his, and according to his own account to the police report, was shoving his dick in her face going, just suck it. And she's like, and he's like, you're just a waitress. I'm a comic. You should be happy I'm interested in you, which is the hackiest rape line I've ever heard in my life.
Oh my God.
And, but there's, I mean,
look, you gotta be a better comic to get away with that shit. Right?
Right. That's been proven. You have to at least be on Rogan.
No, you have to have a show on FX before that stuff happens. You get away with that. Whatever. You know, it's
another week of nonsense that we have to address.
Yes. But
stand up.
Right. The other thing is whatever remedies are for this. I don't even know what they are anymore because I don't even know what the business is anymore. You know, obviously these clubs that are doing 1/3 of the audience, I don't know how that's, unless they were making so much money that they actually can break even on 1/3, you know, I don't know how they keep going because the person in charge has, Trump has fucked this up so badly and fucked up any possibility of a turnaround because half the country doesn't think masks are necessary. No one trusts the CDC anymore. You know, if the CDC were to tell me a vaccine was ready, I'd be like, I don't think so. I know that you let him and his operatives tamper with your site. So you're not a source. When Germany says it's a good vaccine, I'm in, okay?
4 months ago, they were saying, that I kept meeting people who are like, well, when the vaccine comes out, I'll test it. And in the last couple of weeks, I'm like, no, actually, I wouldn't be.
You shouldn't test a vaccine. That's why we have, unfortunately, animals to do it for us, because sometimes they give you a live version of the actual virus. It's diminished greatly in its potency, and that's what creates the antibodies, right? So you yourself shouldn't test a vaccine. Unfortunately, let lab animals do that for you.
You see that? Yes. I have to change the subject. We could actually take a break, probably.
Yeah, let's do that.
Hey, you like movies? What about coming up with movie ideas over the course of an hour? Because that's what we do every week on Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to come up with a pitch for a movie or TV show based off of totally zany prompts.
Like that time we reimagined Star Wars based on our phone's autocomplete.
Luke Skywalker is a family man and it's Star Wars, but it's a good idea.
Okay, how about that time we broke the story of a bunch of Disney Channel original movies based solely on the title and the poster?
Okay, Sarah Hyland is a 50-foot woman. Let's just go with it, guys.
Or the time we finally cracked the Adobe Photoshop feature film.
Stamp tool is your Woody, and then the autofill is the new Buzz Lightyear.
Join us as we have a good time imagining all the movies Hollywood is too cowardly to make. Story Break comes out every Thursday on Maximum Fun. I don't know why I'm using this voice now.
Yeah, let's do Comic of the Week. It's Sierra Cattell. Sierra Cattell, who I saw last night on that Twitch show, Pop and Chat, and she was really funny, and she's got a bunch of writing gigs now, but she was on Last Comic Standing, Carson Daly, Sierra Cattell.
I liked the short clip I saw, I really liked. I was trying to figure out what club she was at. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out either.
There's a cityscape in the background. I'm like, oh, I haven't worked there. Wait, focus. Focus on Sierra.
Right. And it's SIERRAKATOW. And it's at Sierra Cattell on all the things.
Yeah.
So she's the comic of the week, you guys. Find her. Look, watch it. Watch it happen. So what I would say about the, because this is what I was thinking about club owners that are open right now.
Yeah.
Maybe they're like comics. Like, if you think about it, the guy, my brain is
Jared,
so fucked up.
Bloomington.
Jared. Jared is a perfect example, but also Salt Lake City guy.
Keith Barony?
Stubbs. Yeah. Those two guys are perfect examples of guys who love stand-up as much as comics do, but they love the club part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that they are just like, I don't care if it doesn't make any money. I need to watch and be around stand-up comedy.
If you had a club, wouldn't you love to have Brian Regan do 5 shows in it in front of a small audience? I mean, amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can see that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's another breed that those are the club owners that I kind of like the best, which is a breed that hasn't booked me in 3 years. But
my number one concern is that the clubs that book me don't go out of business.
yeah, because Lewis is open too, and it's just like no, I get it. I think that there's this part of that where they just need to be around stand-up too. Like, I'm doing the 3 o'clock show this afternoon, and I have to work on a chunk that I haven't worked on in a couple of weeks, and I'm also trying to talk to 800 pound gorilla about recording my album. Now I'm talking on Monday about where we're going to do it, and we might do it in December or January.
Wow. So what are your thoughts? At a club.
Yeah.
A la Acme or something.
Yeah.
You've done a lot at Acme though. Would you?
I've done every
just because you've had that red curtain behind you on every, maybe just if you go Acme, maybe do a different curtain. So it doesn't look just like, I'm serious. Just so it looks different.
Oh no. Well, I don't know that we're going to film it, but,
okay.
But I've done every album at Acme and there's part of me that wants to do my album at Acme.
Of course. I've done both of mine at the Punchline.
Yeah. And I just, you know, but the thing is it's also, he's talking about this, you know, Dan's talking about December or January. Maybe Lewis has booked December and January.
So oh, I see. Right.
Why don't I calm down? But I will say that, so I'm doing the 3 o'clock show and I invited both you guys to do guest sets and just work it, right? Just, yeah. You know, just mm-hmm. do 3 to 5, whatever you're working on.
No problem.
Because I want to hang out. I literally miss just sort of just hanging out.
Yeah.
Comics and watching people, and literally 3 to 5 is all I want to watch of anybody else's stand.
How long are you doing?
I'm going to do an hour and a half.
Okay. I can't watch an hour and a half. You understand.
You got to bail. You got to okay, bail. I'm not you. Doing an hour and a half, by the way.
Okay.
But I'm kidding. you guys, everyone I asked, because I asked Solomon Giorgio, Aaron Foley's going to do a set.
Carmen oh, cool.
Going to do a set. I asked Augie if he wanted to do a set. He hasn't responded, but, you know, I was like, I just want, yeah. And then a comic who hung out last week and told me she was a comic. I was like, do you want to do a set? And she does, it turns out. So her name's Ashley. I can't remember, her last name, but she's nice.
There's not many women named Ashley. So I think I know who you're talking about.
You know exactly. So, yeah.
Okay. So I was thrust into deep despair and nostalgia this week.
Yeah.
Because my parents' house is for sale.
Oh.
So my mom sold it in 2016 and the people she sold it to are selling it again. Mm-hmm. And they did a lot of work on the house and it looks gorgeous. And they gave my mom the kitchen that they gave themselves a kitchen that my mom would have loved.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're not sad that they redid it at all?
No. I mean, we did a little bit. We just took it from former hoarding house to presentable. That just thing that made me kind of sad was they, as soon as they moved in, they ripped out all the shit we upgraded because we didn't upgrade it with like quartz, you know, or whatever. It was just like a different countertop that was a little bit better.
When did you guys live there?
2016 is when we moved out.
Right, but when did they buy it? Initially?
In 1989. Yeah, did not change the carpet. Even when we were replacing the carpet that was almost 30 years old, my mom was like, "But it's still good." I'm like, "No, mom, please, you gotta
where
let
did
it go."
You, where did you guys live? Like from 65 to 89.
The place we lived in was also on Walnut Creek, but it was in an unincorporated area of Walnut Creek. And
the Boones.
Well, no, it wasn't. It was right near a BART station. And it was that area was allowed to be raised and condos put there. So
Okay.
They cut down like a 200-year-old oak tree. The whole neighborhood tried every single thing to not have an entire cul-de-sac mowed down and replaced with condos that were ideally, supposedly it was like that the developer was going to put in low-income housing and then condos. And of course they never do that. Their low income isn't low income. So even their altruistic lying reason for doing it wasn't good enough. It was just a cash grab for the board of supervisors, Sonny McPeak. Who cares about this shit? I'm still angry. Right. I just know that my dad was highly stressed out about it. And,
oh, was he?
And they, you know, everyone acts like eminent domain is like a cash grab. It's not. I mean, they give as little as possible to a homeowner via eminent domain, whatever they can get away with, right?
Right.
You just get an appraiser to go, well, this house is worth this much and they don't have any way to argue it. So whatever. But
was that the childhood of your childhood?
Yes, that was my childhood home. And then my second childhood, which is when I moved back in with my parents and did stand up based at our house, was 89 to 99, I guess.
Okay.
Many of my memories are at this place anyway. The kitchen looks gorgeous. We took out the shitty carpet, put in a new shitty carpet, but it was new. It wasn't great, but it looked better than, open because it didn't have hardwood floors. It was just like open to the bottom of the house or something, or to the ground. So they immediately ripped that up and put in hardwoods. And if it's like, it's gleaming. Right. And they kept a lot of stuff that my dad put in, trees and all that stuff. And I was so grateful that they didn't take it all out.
Landscaping wise.
Yeah. And there's things you recognize. And then there's like when there was like the shitty upstairs bathroom that they just left exactly as is. I was like, it's still awful. Yay. So I wish I could buy it back, but that's just not
right. I think it's gotta have gone up exponentially.
It went up $250,000 in four years.
How many bedrooms? How many baths?
Four bedrooms, three baths.
Wow. That's huge. Yeah. I was looking at my childhood my second childhood from when I was 8 till when I was 18. home was where we had my dad was one to cut down all of the trees in the yard.
Oh my God.
I was like, what are you doing, man?
Oh my God.
Right. There was this beautiful crab apple tree. He was like, I don't like it. And he left these two pine trees that ended up being probably 14 stories tall.
Oh my God.
And a danger to every other house around it. And so I think they removed those they had to for safety reasons about 10 years.
Oh, that's a heartbreaker.
But and one of the trees, there was an apple tree that when we first moved in that got hit by lightning and had to be taken down.
Mm-hmm.
Then he took down this other tree that didn't have to be taken down. And then he left the currant bush. We had a bush that had currants on it. And he took that.
Oh, I don't know what a currant is.
A currant is like they're usually dried at Whole Foods now.
Okay.
But they're like raisins.
Okay.
Whatever, but they're.
Okay.
Anyway, but the good thing about our yard when I was a kid was that it made a really nice tiny football field for when us and the neighbor kids would play. We could play football because it was long and narrow.
Yeah.
All right. It's a great story.
Well, Jackie, you end a lot of your stories with "it's a great story." Like you,
I know that's because it doesn't have a button on it.
Hey, Jackie, not everything has to have a callback and a closing energy to it. Sometimes you're just adding.
I don't know if you know this. I'm in the entertainment industry, and so
not when we do this podcast. This is anti-entertainment.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, so this week I redid my vision board that Ron Funch is including, and all it is essentially just a storyboard.
Wait, what did Ron Funch do?
He encouraged me to do it.
On his podcast.
Yeah, on his
podcast.
All right,
I started listening to one with you and Ted that you did Ted's and.
Did do Ted. Yeah.
Yeah. It was good.
It was intense. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm only halfway in.
Okay,
but I'll listen to the Funch's one. Yeah.
Yeah, and Bamford's been encouraging me to do a vision board for 1,000 years. So I did the vision board and good things happened, right? I redid it, and on it is this, like, I want to do more voiceover stuff. Like I had put on it and then I redid it that I wanted to do. And so I got to do Sam Talent's.
Oh, interesting.
I got to do a voiceover for his book. I read an audiobook, a chapter of that. And then I just got asked to do, I'm doing a radio play where I play a character, 6 episodes, and it pays. And I'm, so essentially you just got to sort of think, you got to, whatever you put your attention on, supposedly, you might get results.
Can you take a picture of your vision board, but you don't blur out all your dreams and just let me see what it looks like?
Yeah. The crazy thing about vision, I was talking to, I forget, I think it was Ron, but I think I was talking to somebody where I was like, while I was doing it, I was really mad at myself as I'm like putting these things on it. And I was kind of crying and just kind of being a baby about it. And Rod's like, no, no, that's because emotionally you don't want to admit that you want these things. And I was like, yeah, the fact that I put that I want a fucking horse. Yeah. Where am I going to put that anyway? So, but like literally I'm emotionally going, you can't ever have a sailboat, but put it on your vision board because you want a sailboat.
And oh, so, really?
Yeah. Just put it on and it might
happen. Is it a cork board?
No, it's tag board. Andy had a piece of tag board because
I don't know what tag board is.
It's just a white.
Oh, it's like a construction paper?
It's foam core.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, and it's got like pictures of my family on it. And lists of shit that I want. Someone on the Patreon, you guys, you could freeze it and read all the things that I want. And that's okay. Feel free to give me them. Because the thing is now that I've cried over it, I'm like, fine. The emotions are out there. Fuck you if you want to make fun of me about it.
See, that's good. That's forward thinking. I feel like I'm very stuck in the past right now. And, you know, I cannot stop. I downloaded all the pictures of the house.
Right.
And I also had downloaded them from 2016. So I'm like, why am I doing this? Just looking at pictures from the same point of view and seeing what changed. And I mean, you know, and then going back, just grabbing any pictures of the house when it was totally shitty looking, because that's all I mostly remember, you know?
Right.
Why am I marinating in this, Jackie?
I think because you're in the first 3 months of someone incredibly important in your life passing away. So, I mean, the thing is that's why they give everybody a fucking year. That's why you're supposed to mourn for a year, because it takes that long for you to, you get to be sad, you get to be bad, you get to just sort of be lonely about it for a year. And just go, and even as complicated as the relationship with your mom was, and whose relationship with their mother is complicated?
Exactly. There's not a single daughter out there. And I mean, if you're a daughter with an uncomplicated relationship with your mother, I don't know you. You can't even come to my show.
you probably have a complicated relationship with your dad, right? I mean,
he's perfect.
Oh God. Yeah. My dad, I know. So I ordered some groceries, and for the first 3 months of quarantine, I was ordering groceries for my dad. And my brother Russ was like, set up an Instacart with Cub Foods or with whatever and have them deliver.
That's a good idea.
Pudding and hot dogs or whatever the hell he wants to live on. And so I did that. And then I was like, oh, could I get Ralph's to deliver my groceries? Because I don't want to go to. And so now I'm kind of addicted to not going to the grocery store.
Do they pick your apples right? That's what I mean, I need to be there. I need to touch every apple and every peach. I'm very picky nectarines. And if it's the least bit pushy, I won't eat it.
Produce is hard. I go to the farm stand for produce. And though I am willing to let them pick bananas.
Because, that's fine.
They'll either be ripe, eat them now, or green. I guess I'll eat them in 4 days.
Yeah, bananas
and,
are okay.
Yeah. But anyway, my dad's name and phone number, is still on the Instacart thing. So sometimes I forget to change the phone number to my phone number. So I'll get a call going, hey, Instacart just texted me. Robert has started shopping for you. And I was like, oh, great. And he's like, should I cancel it? And I'm like, you're hilarious. Shut up. And I was like, leave me alone. And so.
Well, yeah. I just adored my dad. And then my mom was complicated. And then Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. And I was like, she's older than my mom. Like sometimes I would give my mom the excuse of, well, she was born in a certain era and women were a certain way. Most women were in that era. And, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg wasn't, you know, she also had parents that probably I forget her her upbringing, but I'm guessing parents who respected her brain didn't tell her to shut up, you know, didn't tell her your head's, your head's nothing more than a hat rack all the time. Just stuff where obviously my mom wasn't valued, in the way that she needed to be. And she refused to have opinions that weren't my dad's, right? Yeah. So after my dad, I could have argued with Trump. My mom, she just is like, I'm a Republican and that's that. It's settled.
Your dad was supported that guy. So I guess I knee jerk support that guy because that's how she was raised.
She just didn't, she never had her own opinion. And to be a woman, a female raised by a woman who is afraid to venture out of a certain opinion circle is incredibly frustrating. It makes you go, what's in you? And how do I express an opinion? Because as far as I see, women aren't supposed to. That's what I'm being raised by. Of course, I see differently in my life.
Right.
But it was so hard.
You're lucky for stand-up comedy. I mean, yes. Stand-up comedy, I think, saved my life. I know
Me
that for
too.
Sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But in different ways, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when your father died, your mom essentially went into amber. Like she was just became crystallized.
Yes, yes, yes.
With all of his opinions from that month.
From 2014.
And you're like, you're going to live like that for 6 years? That's ridiculous. And yet that's her jam, right? That was her. And so, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, on the other hand, helped us get all the things, right?
Yeah, I mean, she wasn't
credit
perfect.
Cards.
Right.
No,
but,
of course not.
But, you know, women, yeah. I mean,
did you watch Mrs. America?
I didn't finish it.
I supposedly in the first 10 minutes of Mrs. America, Phyllis Schlafly has to get her husband to co-sign her credit card.
Yeah.
And then she spends the rest of her career saying that feminism isn't needed.
I know.
So,
The other thing is Gloria Steinem's exactly the age of my mom. And I'm like, how did these two women, how were they born at almost the exact same time and have so many, how did my mom not, like, I kept thinking, oh, feminism, it just missed my mom because of when she was born, but it didn't.
Nope. It did not. And I'll tell you something.
She ducked when it came at her. She ducked.
She bobs, she weaves.
She hid behind my dad.
She had pretty good footwork.
Well, it's weird. It's one thing where I have a dad that was saying, you can do anything. You're so smart. You're brilliant. You can do anything. And I had a mom who was afraid to have an opinion and discuss politics.
Right. Because like, your dad had daughters.
Your mom had daughters.
They're different people.
When you you identify with the gender that you are, right? So whatever parent, right?
No, but yes, okay.
No, but I mean,
I didn't.
But
you
did.
You did.
No, wait. Whether you reject it or not, your first woman, if you are born a girl, and this is, I know this is getting muddy with trans issues. I'm just, okay. So if you're born cis female, whatever. Your first woman is your mom. And you either go, I want to be like that, or I don't want to be like that, or I want
make this about you, Lori. I swear to God,
I disagree. I think this is about you.
This is about
all children.
Women. This is
I think
not
it's
about
all children.
No, I believe.
I do.
Hello,
I think,
J.K. Rowling. It is not about all people. This is about you.
No, children.
You need to have scientific proof of this, or you have to make it about yourself.
No, I don't. I can say, I will say this, you can feel free to disagree with me. Call me J.K. Rowling. What the fuck? When children are, you have two adults, ideally, or one adult raising you, and that's who you identify with. And when your reaction to being raised, being the female or the male, is who you become, right? So if you're a female and you're a female role model, is off in a certain way, you react to that and you become a different way. Right? That's
not in my opinion, but
okay.
But you can say all these things and maybe people who are listening will agree with you. But I do not. But that doesn't it
I
doesn't,
think for you to say that you weren't influenced by your mother is I think that's
I didn't say
incredibly
that.
Stubborn.
I okay. didn't say that. I said that I didn't get to say anything, quite honestly, but I think that the people you're raised with definitely affect how you think about yourself. And my mother, between completely ignoring me and then just hitting me in the face a lot, died when I was 8. So I didn't have, I had my grandmother, and she was not anything stereotypically feminine. There was very little standardization with Elsa parentification. So she was just, literally everyone that raised me, I never felt like anything but a person. I never felt like a girl. I never felt like a woman. And that has been a problem for me to fit in over and over and over again. And so I don't know. I know that the people that supported me and the things that I wanted to do, it wasn't support so much as you should do the thing you want to do, which isn't necessarily, it wasn't a bad way to be raised, but it wasn't supportive. It was do whatever you want to do because I don't care. That's a that's an interesting message because it means I can, whatever I'm capable of, I can do that. But it also means that no one's going, well, how can I help you?
Right. Can I?
Yeah.
Do you perhaps think the fact that the first woman raising you did such a bad job, did that in your little child mind go, oh, this is what women are. I don't want to be this. And now I'm really confused about what a woman is. If a woman hits me, well, why, and I'm a woman, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I mean. Like, whatever, that might be something that influenced you because you didn't want to be like that at all.
I think, I'm sure that that is there. I'm sure that there is all kind, you know, all those gender expectations and all that stuff, of what a woman is and what a man is and what those people are. Those are real. I'm not saying that those aren't real. I'm just saying that what you take from those things and what you, Lori Kilmartin, take from those things are different from what I took from those things and what other people. Okay.
Yeah. So every family is different. So
I think that your mom, her brain box was completely, you know, was smacked out. She was like, your head is a hat holder.
Right. So, and also it depends if you have brothers and sisters, if you had older siblings, so they're either going to refract some of that back at you. You know, I don't even know if I use that verb right. Refract.
You did.
But like, I was the first one, right?
Yeah.
So it's me, my mom, and my dad. And I'm looking around, you know, say the first 4 years, and I don't know what I'm taking in, but I'm seeing that the people that look like me don't have opinions.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they're highly frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, and they go into their closet to scream when they're, when they don't know how to handle their anger, you know, and right. I'm like, and then right. The other one's like, you can do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a lot of this.
Okay, so if I could be the president of the United States, but I'm on track to be screaming in a closet, is there some middle ground someone could fucking teach me how to have?
Right,
and
right.
I bet that Ruth Bader had two parents going, you can be the president, you can be the Supreme Court justice, is what I would guess versus what my mom had, you know.
There's a biography coming out about her.
I won't read it, but I'm happy to retweet.
No, I think it's a documentary. And I will say this is I am sorry I called you J.K. Rowling. I just wanted you to stop talking because that was
wow.
not accurate at all.
That's a way to do it.
Right. I just wanted to accomplish. It was a heckler moment where I was just like, hey, I was like, put you down. We didn't do any breaks, did we?
No, we did the first one right before comic week, but I figured we'd do another one when we came out on the other side of all of that.
Hey, I'm Janet Varney, host of the JV Club podcast. High school. Was it a time of adventure, romance, and discovery?
Class of 95, we did it!
Or a time of angst, disappointment, and confusion.
We're all tied together by 4 years of trauma at this place, but enjoy adulthood, I guess.
The truth is, it was both. So join me on the JV Club podcast, where I invite some great friends like Kristen Bell, Angela Kinsey, Oscar Nunez, Neil Patrick Harris, and Keegan-Michael Key to talk about high school, the good, the bad, and everything in between.
My teenage mood swings are getting harder to manage.
The JV Club. Find it on Maximum Fun.
Well, let's do 7 minutes extra. Because we apparently cheated people.
We're close, close here. So we could do a couple more minutes. But
Are you guys doing shows this week? What do you guys got?
I got nothing.
Oh shit! I'm glad you're doing a set.
Let me read my
me too.
Let me read my calendar to you. Thursday, Medusa email. That means the show's called Medusa, and I was contacted via email. Friday's called KO Comedy email. And then Saturday is 4:30 Valley Girl show via Bruce. So if you guys can figure that shit out, you can see me on one of those nights.
Okay. That is awesome. Let me look at my calendar. I have the show I'm putting on today. And then I have, tentatively on Wednesday, I have something written, Twitch Science Show. That clearly is going to be on Twitch, and it's going to be about science.
Where did it come from?
It doesn't say in the title. But I only do things via email.
Okay. Because
otherwise, they never make it into my book, and then I don't show up. So Thursday, I have something called Twitch D&D Show, and that I think I'm just talking about. I'm just a podcast for somebody else. And then on Sunday, next Sunday, it's my sister's birthday.
Yay!
So we have to do more shows. I want to do all the out. I emailed Tammy Jo and heard back. I think
you will.
I'm in my head going, was I mean to her? Did I say
something? Well, you shouldn't have started your email, hey, J.K. Rowling. That puts people off.
That will. If I just start heckling, just using heckling lines. And then,
Oh, no. Are you done with your calendar?
Yeah, I'm sadly done with my calendar.
Can I recommend a television show to one and all? It's called Borgen.
Oh, yeah.
It's Danish. It is every female character is me.
So fuck.
There's single moms whose mothers move in to help out. Okay. There's the prime minister / headliner, right?
Okay.
And then there's tertiary female characters, and they're all ages, and they're all, you know, they're all over the spectrum of what being a working woman is. Mm-hmm. And she's, plus you've got like the tons of coffee, like they always sit and have a coffee in their little mugs. So it's like that sort of, that Danish I don't know what it's called, hygge, that coziness thing. They have a lot of that. This show was done before that sort of trend came out, but they have a lot of that organically, I guess, because they're taping
Is it older?
In. Yeah, from like 2010.
Okay.
But it's watching, great.
I'm watching a British constable show called Endeavor.
Yeah.
That is on Amazon. I also started the second season of Discovery, the first season of Lower Decks. The second season of Harley Quinn.
Wait, is Lower Decks a home it's improvement
a,
show?
It's a Star Trek, Trek show.
Oh, okay.
Star Trek
Back
show.
Away slowly.
I also, last night I found on Hulu something called Alton Brown's Good Eats Reloaded.
Oh, it's great. Dive in.
Okay.
Oh, because talk about a no-brainer that's super just, you're like, all it is his shows from 1999, but done 2 years ago where he goes back in and goes, I was wrong.
Yeah.
This is actually what I would recommend. This was great. And look how good looking I am. I was 35.
wait, what does he do? He's a chef.
Annotates the old recipes. Oh, yeah. It's Alton Brown, the chef. He does lots of cooking stuff.
It's a Food Network. It was a Food Network show called Good Eats from the late 90s.
He's Food Mythbusters.
Oh, okay. All right.
There you go. And so it's completely like no-brainer, perfect before bed.
Okay.
It's like, and they're 20 minutes each and they're on Hulu.
Borgen is terrible before bed because I watch like 10 hours in a row. It's and they have 3 seasons. It's on Netflix, and they are going to start a 4th season, so it's worth your investment. That's what I say. But it's really, really good.
Endeavor is actually some of the greatest mystery writing that I've seen on television. Like it's full on Sherlock Holmes. I don't see the twist coming. And I in quarantine have watched so many mystery shows right now that I'm just like, oh, it's that guy.
And yeah, you got it.
Yeah,
you figured it out. I finished reading Cast.
Oh,
it's really good. It's basically about United States history of white supremacy, and you know, she kind of explains different pillars and kind of potential ways to treat it. Isabel Wilkerson. Nice. She wrote another book, Moving to a Warmer Sun or something. I forget it, but it was about the migration of Black Americans from the South to. Wait, that doesn't make sense if they're moving to the North. Okay. I don't know what it's about, but it won a Pulitzer and it's I'm going to get it and read it next. But it's great. I can bring it to you because it's hardback. It's kind of pricey.
No. I'm already ignoring Howard Zinn's book that I've only ever third paragraph. I'm rereading The Lord of the Rings, but I'm also People's History has been sitting next to my bed for about 2 years.
That's what it does.
That's what it does.
Well, it it's a reference point. It's one to keep in the bathroom when you don't want to bring your iPhone into the bathroom, you just bang out a chapter while you're taking a nice satisfying shit.
Having a moment is what we could call it.
This could be where we end the episode.
Here's what I'd like to say is that I like that we spent these 4 minutes not shouting at each other.
Yeah.
Yay, we ended it positive.
Yay. But how exciting was that for a second?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.